You have no idea how honored I am. I guess I would say extremely honored to be with you and to be amongst warriors. That's it. Our first responders are there, warriors. Could you put up that first slide, please? I'd just like to do a little bit of introduction. A friend of mine, Bill Van Pelt, took that picture September 7th, 2001. Had no idea what the next week was going to entail. Monday night, September 10th, I was invited to speak to about 200 pastors in Northvale, New Jersey. And the subject was, what do we do in case we have a disaster? The night before. When Ruth Ann and I left there, we were driving down Palisades Parkway. And we both made comments that the city never looked so beautiful. It was just so clear that night, and it was, you're shaking your head back there. You know where I'm coming from? Yeah. Unbelievable. We made comment and said, I've never seen New York look so beautiful. I mean, it was just like a postcard. And the moon and the stars. The next morning, I was on my way to a minister's meeting in Freehold. I believe it was Freehold. And Ruth Ann called me. She said a plane just went into the tower. And I was trying to decide what I wanted to do, whether I wanted to continue the meeting or go home or do what. And then I put the news on the radio, in the car radio, and I heard that another plane went in. So I called Ruth Ann and I said, call my department. I need a police car. Get my uniform out, and I'm headed to New York. Had no idea what we'd face. I'm not going to talk much about that today. One thing I want to do tell you is when things were closing down, the iron workers were cutting across to go to Notre Dame. And I asked them, I said, would you be kind enough to cut me a cross from that beam out of the North Tower? And it's back on the table back there. Every place we go to share, we've had people just touch it and weep. Just touch it and weep. Our innocence was betrayed on 9/11. It's never been the same since. So this morning when you go out there at lunchtime, touch the cross. It's your point of contact to one of the greatest tragedies that our country's ever faced, and one of the greatest trials. I want to mention a brother of mine. I know he'll be embarrassed. This is Manny Rodriguez. Manny was operating the ute, big heavy equipment. And I remember when they'd find a body or a body part, they'd hit the air horn. Everybody would stop. And Manny was one of those guys. And a whole year he spent there. Manny's been having problems like a lot of us. I'm doing funerals for my brothers and sisters that were there. I've had multiple cancers. We're all under the World Trade Center treatment. But everybody in this room, I don't care. No matter what the incident would have been, if you're a first responder, you would have went. In fact, some of you maybe did. How many were there, worked? Thank you. Thank you. Wow. Put that next slide up, please. Thirty-two officers violently killed. I've been in this work for 50 years. I was in law enforcement back in the 80s. Most of these officers are from New Jersey. You can't read them. I'd be good if you couldn't read them, but 32 officers' deaths that I've been involved with, 11 suicides. 11. 3 in the last few months. My home department, Jackson, New Jersey, came to my church, sat in a pew just like you are today, took his AR-15, went to the gravesite of his mother, and shot himself. On a January 5th, from our church, my own church, Sal, Monroe Township cop, 20 after 8 in the morning, my phone rings. Pastor, 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 my father just shot himself. We get to the house. Sal's laying underneath the willow tree where we sat often and talked. Had biscuits and tea. And when I saw him laying on the ground, I wanted to grab him and beat the living daylights out of him. We hunted together, we fellowshipped, he played the guitar in church. It's a big mystery. And I'm so glad that your church is doing this, because our warriors need help. Our warriors need help. Next slide. There's some upcoming seminars. We got a lot of brass here today. We got a lot of officers. And here's some of the things that are coming up. In America's Keswick, April 28th to 30th, we have a conference, The Pain Behind the Badge. What is the pain behind the badge? The pain behind the badge is the pain that only you can experience if you lost somebody behind the badge. Sergeant Clark Paris is our speaker. His wife, a nurse, is going to be there with him. I gave one of the chiefs a brochure. There's some brochures back on the table. Last year we had Dave Grossman. Any of your law enforcement remember Dave Grossman? Sheepdogs. In Central State, we have critical incident stress management coming up. We're training police, fire, EMS, medical personnel to be able to deal with the critical incidents. There's a brochure back there regarding that. We're doing stress management for dispatchers. I asked one of the chiefs here today, where are your dispatchers? There's a dispatcher not too far from here that I've been working with for years who was on the phone when somebody killed themselves, on the phone. So we need to take care of our dispatchers, too. We're doing dispatcher training in October. We don't have a brochure for that yet. I'm an instructor with the National Police Suicide Foundation. I didn't ask to do this, I guess because of all the suicide we've been involved with that they want us to try to help. We've got a website, Crisis Intervention. We do 24 different seminars, 34 different seminars. We have a group called Sheepdogs. We meet once a month, a bunch of crusty old cops, firefighters, EMS, chaplains. We go to IHOP. We get a back room. And we call it a safe place for tough talk. And we get together. Next Saturday is our meeting. In fact, that pastor, get some of these guys up here to start their own sheepdog group. Because you need to talk to somebody. So next Saturday morning, 8 o'clock, we'll be at the IHOP in Howell, New Jersey, on Route 9. And we'll sit there and say, how was your month, Manny? Had a child die. Had a fatal accident. Suicide. I've had so many suicides, I've lost two in the last 2 weeks. Suicide, not officers. We need to take care of our first responders. And they need to humble themselves a little bit to say, hey, it doesn't hurt to talk. It doesn't hurt to talk. There's a whole bunch of free literature back there. The title of my message this morning is going to be Never Give Up. There's a little card back there with the egret, with the frog in its mouth, and the frog's got his hand around the throat. Never give up. We have the Alpha Critical Incident Team. We have 116 members of our Critical Incident Team. Our team was up here, I think they had a double drowning somewhere up in the north here a few months ago, and our team was up here. We need team members. There's cards back there for the team. Here's another card. It's called Positive Self-Talk. I made this print real small, and I tell cops, firefighters, and EMS, when things aren't going good, when you have a bad day, look at this card and read it. And you'll go home, hopefully, safe and sound. These are I Got Your Six cards. Sheepdogs. We have sheep. We have wolves. The sheepdogs protect the sheep. You and I are shepherds, but we're also sheepdogs. You can't be a preacher today and be a wimp. You need to be able to take a stand. You need to be willing to fight. We don't put our time on here. We don't want the media or someone who has an ulterior motive to come to our meeting. So we put that. And then someone said, Dan, why don't you journal? 50 years of doing this. So finally, a couple years ago, I put a book together. It's Our Journey. I don't regret a mile. And I don't regret a mile. We all bear scars from where we were. And the scars remind us where we were, don't they? $15 on Amazon, $10 for you today. But everything else there is free. Next slide. Let's turn to 2 Samuel 23, please, in your Bibles. By the way, there is a famine of non-Bible reading Christians today. We put a year schedule to study the Bible. So pick up one of those when you go back to the table today, and start reading the Bible. Start reading the Word. You'd be surprised how God's Word will help you through the day. And help you through the trials that you're going through. So I want to look at 2 Samuel 23. And getting older, better wear the glasses. These be the names of the mighty men whom David had, the Tachomite, sat at the seat, chief among the captains. Then was Adino, the Esnite. He lifted up his spear against 800. Whom he slew at one time. Boy, that's a warrior. Killed 800 people one time. And after him was Eleazar, the son of Dodo, the Aothite, and one of these three mighty men with David, when they defiled the Philistines, they were gathered together to battle, and the men of Israel were gone away. He arose and smote the Philistines until his hand was weary, and his hand clave to the sword, and the Lord wrought a great victory that day. That you couldn't get the sword out of his hand. That's how he was determined. And the people returned after him only to the spoil. And after him was Shammah, the son of Agi, the Herite. And the Philistines were gathered together into a troop where was a piece of ground full of lentils. And the people fled from the Philistines. But he stood in the midst of the ground. He stood in the midst of the ground. And that's what we need in America. People that will stand their ground. And stand for what is righteous and holy. And pure. He stood in the midst of the ground and defended it and slew the Philistines. And the Lord wrought a great miracle or a great victory. Father, I thank you for this church. I thank you for the pastor. I thank you for the leadership. I thank you for all the warriors that are here this morning. Help us to say something that'll save lives and get people into heaven. In Jesus' name, amen. Sir Winston Churchill, at Oxford University commencement, he steps up to the podium, leans on his elbows, and he says three words, never give up. This is the commencement now. He goes back and he sits down. Everybody's waiting. Okay. He gets up again to the lectern and he says, never give up. They didn't know whether to applause or what they should do. So the third time he got up, let's put that next slide up. They got the point. Never, never give up. Do you see this? No matter how bad it looks, man, he's got them in his mouth, but I got you. I got you. There's cards back there. They're probably going to go real quick. But that's what I'm here to share with you this morning. Never give up. Everybody here today is either in a situation or a crisis or facing decisions, or you're going to face them in the days to come. We don't go through life without issues. I hope you're not thinking about giving up. When I got I was at a sheepdog meeting when one of my police officers came in and said Campbell Brown shot himself last night. Two-and-a-half-year-old daughter, everything to live for. If you're going to make it through this life, you got to have a battle plan. You have a strategy. You're making me feel at home, brother. That's good. I'm Assembly of God. I'll behave myself this morning.
I'm a Baptist from Texas. Sorry.
You're a Baptist from Texas. Well, that's great. Do you have a battle plan? Are we in war? We sure are. You can have a plan, but it's no good unless you enforce it. Unless you enforce it. Quitting or defeat is not an option. Never. Never an option. The kingdom of God is an army, and we are warriors in that kingdom. We are fighters. Christians are not to be weak and wimpy. I preached a message recently, the wussification of America. The wussification of America. Where are the men in our country? Exodus 15:3, the Lord is a man of what? War. The Lord is his name. Wow. These three mighty men that we showed you, the scripture there, they've been an encouragement and an inspiration to me many, many times when I just thought it was enough. Just thought it was enough. If you're going to win the battle in this life, if you don't train, condition, and prepare, you are a victim. Every police officer, firefighter, EMS person in this room today, train, practice. So when they get under pressure, they will know exactly how to respond and take care of a situation. They all have their own training. But we can have all the training in the world. We can have all the certificates of the classes we've gone to and be spiritually defeated and be on our way to hell. We wrestle not with flesh and blood, but with principalities, powers, and rulers in high places, and wickedness in high places. Excuse me? Wicked. We have never seen such wickedness in high places as we have seen in the last 2 years. Wickedness. It's all satanic. It's all evil. Satan is out to destroy. Your greatest enemy is fear. The greatest enemy is fear. Fear of not being prepared. Fear of not being ready. To the believer in Christ, we see fear as a spirit. I can't see when you're tormented. You can come to church and smile and sing and appear to be on top of everything and go home and sit and weep for days because you're lost and you're hurting. We know how to put it on, don't we? Make it look good. Are you a sheep or a sheepdog? You have two choices: react or respond. A reaction, listen to me now, a reaction is loss of control. A response takes control. And if you're a first responder and you come upon an accident or a fire, my wife can't tell you, I don't know how many times we've passed fires, and she said, where are you going? I'm going to the house. Everybody's in the house, right? It's just a response. You can be out of town. I was 300 miles away from home. The house is on fire. I went in the house. Everybody was in the house. Why do we do those things? Just because we're crazy, but we've trained to be able to deal with situations like that. What do we do? You're driving down a parkway, you see an accident. What do you got? Your cell phone out, taking pictures. That is your reaction. What's happening on the scene? People are responding. They're saving lives. They're making another day for somebody. The greatest battle we face, the battle of the mind. The battle of the mind. I know when I came to Christ at a very young age, I was in the military at that time, all of a sudden my former playground became my battleground. When I came to Jesus, my former playground became a battleground. 56 years ago. This is my first wife, Ruth Ann. 55 years. 55 years. Amen. She appreciates that. The influences of your past become your enemies. The things you used to do, you don't want to do anymore because they were in line with being a spiritual, a godly person. Let me ask you a question this morning. Do you have control over those who have access to you? How much of other people's words do you allow to sink into your mind? How often do you allow other people to affect the way your day is? Firefighters, cops, EMS, man, it'd be a mess. One call after another. One call after another. What do you do? How do you deal with it? Well, you train to respond. You are the seed for your future, and your friends are the ground that will either feed you or drain you. So who you hang with is going to have a lot to do with how you get through life. Because there are some people that they want to be our friends, but they just drain us every day. They drain us. You want somebody that will support you. Listen to this very carefully. If you have a vision you can fulfill by yourself, your vision is too small. Your vision is too small. Our minds are garbage dumps filled with the trash from the past. Don't look at me so holy. You know what I'm saying? Life leaves a trace. When I do training, I say our brain is in two sections. One side of our brain is logic, all the things we studied and learned. But the other side of our brain are all the sights, sound, and smells you have experienced from the time you were born. Do you hear what I'm saying? The sights, the sounds, the smells, they're all up there. And you've got your cognitive ability to think about things here. And what happens in trauma, and I don't like this PTSD, telling every cop and firefighter you got PTSD, you got PTSD. It's a syndrome of craziness, not knowing how to block all those things that we saw, heard, smelled, seen. We can't make sense of it over here. So we have a breakdown. You understand what I'm saying? Are you following me? That's why the mind is beautiful, but it can be fatal. Scars. We're going to do a song, and when we're finished here, scars are a sign of healing. How many scars do you have that people never see? How many scars do you have in your heart? How many times you've been hurt, violated, abused? Sadly, most men don't talk about their scars. They talk about their triumphs. I got a call. I forget what town it was. Two firefighters were dead. Two children were dead in the fire. I called my partner, Jim Davis. I said, I'm heading out. We got a fatal fire. Firefighters are killed. A couple kids are killed. I said, I'll give you a call and let you know how things are going. Chaos. Chaos. Christ has all things established. You take a deep breath. You say, Lord, I need your help. How do I deal with this? Well, my friend who was on the beach called me that night and said, how you doing? I'm doing good. He said, you liar. Don't lie. You don't lie to me. You were dealing with a fire department who lost two firefighters, and I was in the Roman Catholic Church with 1,000 people, and they asked me to address the people, and there were people sitting there weeping because of the tremendous, I think it was Gloucester City. I think it was Gloucester City. We got to do something with this. We need intercession in our departments. We need somebody to say, hey, just because you're having a recall doesn't mean you're crazy. That's the way your body is. That's the way your mind is. I could go back 40 years in Nutley when I was in Nutley with Nutley PD. And I remember sitting in the dining room telling a mother her 6-year-old son had just drowned, just like it was yesterday, 40 years ago. Vietnam vet, right? Any vets? Vietnam vets? You don't have any baggage, brother. You don't have no baggage. Everything's okay, right? Give you a little bit of drugs, help you forget about it. That's what they do. Drug you up. But Helen Keller once said, walking with friends in the dark is better than walking alone in the light. Wow. God brings people in our lives so we can practice his love by testing what can be said and what cannot be said. Did you hear that? Too often we're connected with people from where we came from that don't relate to where we're going. So you need to cut ties with the people that you came from so you can learn new relationships to get where you got to get going. Wow. Who in your life today relates to your future? The people in your life today, who has an influence on your future? Too many friends will drain you and wear you down. Because you're trying to make everybody happy. You're trying to make everybody happy. Co-workers are not your friends. Your co-workers aren't your friends. You know, they don't go home with you. No, sir. They are marginalized relationships. And we can create a crisis because we share too much with others and have no business knowing what we're telling them. And now they hold it against us. Can you say amen? That's good. I see a lot of heads shaking. I think you know where we're going, you know. Jesus was very careful who he let into his life. He fed 5,000, laid hands on 70, taught the 12, dealt with the rivalry of Peter, James, and John, and what happened when he was in the garden? They were sleeping. Jesus had very few people that he could count on, especially when the end of the days were coming for him. Don't forget this, will you please? Fans love you for what you do. Friends love you for who you are. Mm-hmm. Jesus was careful who he let into his life. Man, he said, will you go also? How many can you really depend upon? Let me say this. Find your three. Don't wait to be grounded on those who leave. How many people have at least three people you can say are your best friends? Can you name three people that are your best friends? Wow. How many say there's two people that you would consider a best friend? How many of you only have one person you consider as a best friend? Did you just see what happened? You can't trust people. Here's my best friend right here. She knows all the nitty-gritty, dirty, disgusting stuff about me. But it's under the blood. Do you understand what I'm saying? You and I must be very cold. Yeah, he's my brother, and we share the responsibility, we share the job. But be careful. Be careful. You know? Those who stay may frustrate you and aggravate you, but they stay. They may be the ones that rub you the worst, but they're the ones that you need in your life. Three kinds of friendships. Confidants. Maybe two or three that add intelligence to the relationship. They emulate you. Okay, very few. You just saw it with your hands. There's very few people we can trust. Those people are in your life for you. Confidence. Constituents are the next group. They are there for what you are about. They share similar goals, not for where you're going, because they'll leave you if they find somebody better than you. Then you have comrades. Comrades, they're in it for you, but they're in it for what you are against. You have common enemies, and you have strange bedfellows, but as soon as the battle is over, they run. They'll kill your future. You only have two, maybe three people in your life that you can trust. Comrades and constituents always outnumber confidence. Never share your intimate personal life with your constituents and your comrades. Relax, I'm almost done. You're not nervous, are you, preacher? Okay, that's good. Who feeds into your life and who feeds off your life? I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. How many leeches do you have in your life? You see, if someone's coming over, oh, dear God, they're coming over. I don't believe it. They want to go out to lunch. Oh, let's go someplace where it's noisy so I don't have to listen to them, you know? Listen to this now. We're close. If people are trying to bring you down, it only means that you're above them. Right? You're above them. When people see you as being strong, they will feed on you. When you show strength, people want to be around people that are strong. Because they want you to be there when all hell's breaking loose and your world's falling apart. Those are the people you want. Never give up those powerful words. Here's what I found in all the years with the National Suicide Foundation for Police. Giving up can lead to hopelessness, and hopelessness leads to suicide. Bob Douglas, he's the head of the National Police Suicide Foundation. Talked to him on the phone recently. There's new research out. If you're a cop and you eat your gun, there are 50 people at your funeral if you're lucky. Because you're a wimp, you're a loser. If you hit a tree or a pole and you die in a motor vehicle accident, you have 3,000 at your funeral. You might not like this, but Suicide is a line of duty death, as far as I'm concerned. It's a line of duty death. He killed himself. What a wimp. But now they're saying a great number of motor vehicle crashes in police cars. The officers were not wearing their seatbelts, and it's very possible it was a planned suicide. Because now his kids go to college. They have 3,000 people at the funeral. Everybody's given everything. You have people at your house for the next 6 months bringing food and bringing things. Doing a training. I can tell you where it was. I was doing a training in Trenton. And detectives come in and say, a Ewing cop just shot himself outside headquarters. Nobody wants to go to the house and tell his wife. So they said, would you go and take another person with you? And the cops wouldn't go to the house. He's a wimp. Killed himself. Couldn't live up to his standard. Go in the house. Wife has her head all bandaged. Two little girls, 12, 14 years old. Sorry, ma'am, your husband took his life this morning. She just got out of the hospital because he beat her unconscious. And his little girls watched it. And let me tell you something. There wasn't a lot of emotion in that dining room table. It was almost like a relief. We never know what people are hiding. We never know what's just eating away day after day after day. For most people, blaming others is a subconscious mechanism for avoiding accountability. Put it off on somebody else. In reality, the only thing in your way is you, and you can avoid reality, but you don't have to avoid the consequences of avoiding reality. Emotional sickness is avoiding the reality at any cost. Spiritual health, spiritual security. And when we exercise faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, we're letting go of control, and he takes control of our lives.